are turning astray of the path that was left long ago. All we leave behind.
Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode is number 92, and what we're going to talk about today is spiritual capital, which is one of the last of the series of capital that was first brought up, referred to several episodes ago from an article I read by Ethan C. Rowland of Appleseed Permaculture. And we have been systematically working our way through the various capitals. And today we're looking at spiritual capital. We've got one more to go. And this should be a good show for you. I'm going to take a little bit different angle than many of the blogs and articles that are written on this topic. And so it should be a good one for you. But before we do that, I want to take care of a little bit of business. First of all, I'm sorry for the, well, not really, but I did have a break for a while there on podcasts because I was on vacation with my wife. I had not been on vacation with just her alone in over 16 years. And we celebrated our 20th anniversary this year. And so we scheduled the trip and went away for 3 or 4 days. And really enjoyed ourselves. And so I didn't do any podcasting, didn't do any blogging, nothing like that. So just enjoyed our time together. And so you had a little break there from me, and hopefully you're back on it now, and I am back with it. So glad that you are listening, and want to take care of a little bit of business. First of all, make sure that you are continuing to follow us on all the various social media, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, and telling your friends and family about us so that they can also be introduced to it. I'm going to have a contest here coming up on referrals. Anybody that can refer somebody else, I'm going to bring that up next episode, so be aware of that, and that's a way to get the word out about the Legacy Podcast. Second item is make sure that you're a registered user. I appreciate those of you who are signing up to be a registered user. This is a benefit to you, primarily in that you can manage your time more effectively. You know exactly when the next post comes out. And rather than having to check back each day, you can find out through email automated. So anytime I make a post or a change to the website, you'll be notified through email of that change. So it's a great way to keep up with it. Secondly, you can then also be allowed to make comments to the various episodes. So that's a free service to you. So check out becoming a registered user of the website. And then thirdly, our affiliate focuses for today. There are two, like always. The first one is Gurney's. Gurney's is a great resource for those of you who are gardening, and I'm hoping that most of you are at least trying to make some kind of stab at producing some food for yourselves and making sure that you are a part of the local food movement, which helps save our environment and helps save our lives as well with better health. And one of the best ways to do that is planting your own seeds and plants and trees. And Gurney's is a great resource for that because they have a wide selection of variety and at a very low cost. They have all kinds of different discounts. The one that I have on my website is at $20 off. There are others as well, and you can search the site for those. And if you go through my website, it'll give me a little bit of commission on that referral as well. So I appreciate you checking them out. And then secondly is 48 Days. 48 Days is the work of Dan Miller's organization. And what he does is he specializes in helping other people get into the careers that they want, whether it be into a self-employed position or starting your own business, or whether it is actually working for somebody else. He'll walk you through the steps on that. He's got all kinds of resources for that. And so check out any of his books and resources over at 48 Days. That takes care of the inner. Oh, and finally, I didn't want to forget, but make sure that you are, if you're like the show and want to become a legacy partner, consider our Legacy Partner Program. That's the best way to support the show. You can do that for $30 a year. With that, you have access to our exclusive members-only page that enables you to have some downloadable material for free that others do not get. Has some resources and charts there for gardening. It also has some discounts to some online garden programs, as well as has an ebook and some other items as well. And I'm hoping to rev that up a little bit here shortly, and so you'll have some more items as well. and you can support the show at less than 20 cents per episode. So check out becoming a legacy partner. That takes care of the introductory material. So now let's go ahead and get into the main content for today's show, and that is the idea of spiritual capital. And before I get too far into defining what it is, I want to use it kind of as a means of telling what it is not. And so, first of all, what spiritual legacy is not, or at least from my perspective, now you'll find articles written on this topic from these perspectives, but being a Christian, of course, I would hold to a different position than these. But there are some who look at spiritual legacy as, or a spiritual capital as something like the concept of reincarnation, or as karma, you know, that as you build up some kind of karma and then that's, you know, paid back to you or some kind of thing like that, or even the concept of, you know, becoming more and more like God or something along that avenue. And of course, I dismiss these as being falsehoods and cannot subscribe to them. And so I will not be advocating any of those as a means of developing spiritual capital. These might be classified by some kind of spiritual capital. And indeed, they are in some respects, but they're also false capital. And so we cannot advocate those. Secondly, spiritual capital can be understood in many ways as a subset of social capital. One study showed that religion was the greatest contributor to social capital. Robert Putnam in Bowling Alone indicated that. And so this idea that spiritual capital is a separate idea or a separate kind of capital can be stretching it somewhat, because in a lot of ways it is a form of community capital. You take, for example, you know, right now, whether it be Mitt Romney or Barack Obama, they have some, you know, a great deal of social capital. And if you take Mitt Romney, for example, he has a great deal of spiritual capital in the Mormon community because he's Mormon. And so most likely he is going to receive nearly all, if not all, of the Mormon votes come this November because of his spiritual capital. He's looked to as a leader in that church. And so there is an aspect on the surface and on the material level where this spiritual capital can be classified in some ways as a type or a subset of social capital. I have, you know, personal examples of that myself. There's been many situations where, you know, at one point, somebody doesn't give me a lot of credibility until they realize that I'm a pastor. And as soon as they realize that I'm a pastor, it, you know, elevates my status in some ways. Now, I don't know why they don't consider business people or, you know, something like that you know, a high status. But that just goes to show that there is this level of spiritual capital that can contribute to the overall capital in your life, the assets that you have, and more particularly to social capital. So although most people will try to bring out some aspect of this subset of social capital as a means of spiritual capital, or as a spiritual capital as a means to that, that's not really what I want to bring as a focus for today's show. What I want to really do is I want to bring a focus on the long-term aspects, or more particularly the eternal aspects of spiritual capital. Spiritual capital is the only form of capital that can be taken into the next life. Let me explain. You know, all the other forms of capital will be left here after we have left this life, but not spiritual capital. So for example, whether we, you know, we build some material or financial capital, we can leave that in our wills. You know, we can build an estate, a material estate with all kinds of means of income and businesses and all that kind of stuff, but we can't take any of that with us. Nor can we take our reputation, the social capital that we've developed, or the human capital, our intelligence and all these things. That will all be made new. And so spiritual capital is really the only form of capital that can endure for eternity. And so it is by far, even though all the other areas in this life are important, spiritual capital is by far the most important of all capital. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth destroys nor rust, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so there are three particular passages three texts in the Bible that I want to look at and focus on that shed some idea of this spiritual treasures or spiritual capital. Of course, we've already mentioned chapter 6 of Matthew, and so we're not going to reread that. But the next three I want to spend a little bit of time on. And the first one is in 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "Look to yourselves that ye do not lose those things we have worked for, but that you may receive a full reward." Now, in the context of this, if you look at it in its context, this is referring to false teachers and allowing false teachers to come into the church and to deceive people and to lead people astray to the point where they have lost what that has been taught to them by others. And so this is why it's so important to be able to fight against false teachers. So important for us to have a biblical worldview. In fact, you know, one of the tenets of building a legacy is, from my perspective, is to have a biblical worldview. If we do not have a biblical worldview, then we are not able to pass on from one generation to the next a proper perspective of life and a proper perspective of eternity. We will be succumbed to various false teachers and false doctrines that would lead us astray and thwart any kind of enduring legacy that we might want to pass on. And, you know, there is a dearth of sound doctrine in the churches today. And for that matter, there's a dearth of doctrine in the church today, not just sound doctrine. There is a dearth in doctrine itself. In other words, very rarely can you go to a church and be taught critical, difficult doctrine. And a lot of times that's because people think, you know, doctrine divides and, you know, they don't want to divide. They don't want to certainly split a church or segregate a church or anything like that. And so we teach and explain things to the lowest common denominator, and as a result, often it becomes wishy-washy and has very little backbone. And so false teachings and false teachers are rampant in the church today. You take, for example, somebody like Joel Osteen, who many people would say is a Christian. Certainly he calls himself so and leads a church that is considered a church, and yet many of his doctrines are contrary to sound doctrine. And many within the evangelical community would consider him outside the pale of Christianity. And yet, very often, people just accept him wholeheartedly without really understanding the doctrines that he teaches, because they themselves have not been under sound doctrine. So it's so important that we have an idea of sound doctrine and then explain it to our children and children's children and build that biblical worldview. This is why, you know, we have people in the churches today who are professing believers to say that there's really no difference between the major religions, that they all basically teach the same thing. That's because they have never really been taught sound doctrine. And so they allow false teachings and false doctrines to permeate in their own lives as well as in the church. You know, there's a real benefit to confessions of faith and catechisms. These used to be regularly taught, regularly spoken in the churches, and yet very few churches do it today. The confessions of faith and catechisms go way back. And, you know, one of the things we do to educate our children theologically in our home is we go through various catechisms. And that's a part of the, you can find this on our resources page, but it's part of the booklets. There's book 1, 2, and 3 dealing with training up your children, truth and grace booklets. And they have within there catechisms and confessions of faith, both, that are beneficial to teaching children sound doctrine. So if you want to build a spiritual capital that will last and will be able to pass on from legacy to legacy, then it's important to defend sound doctrine, to learn sound doctrine, and not to put up with that which is not. And then secondly, John chapter 4, verse 36 says this, "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." Now the context of this is regarding evangelism. And the idea is that one is able to, through evangelism, to participate in the conversion of others and so build a measure of rewards. He is, in a sense, acquiring spiritual capital when he engages in evangelism. So if you want to build lasting spiritual capital, be involved in evangelism. Now, certainly, each of us can point to a person or a group of people that were instrumental in bringing us to faith and contribute to those same people a great measure of spiritual capital in this life, but the capital is also extended to the life to come in the form of treasures in heaven. So those same people, those same groups that we highly value because of the input that they have had in our life spiritually, God is also holding them into a measure of reward in eternity for their participation in our evangelism. And so we likewise can do to others. So if we want to have a lasting building spiritual capital, then we should be involved in evangelism. Now, I hope to do a show in upcoming weeks or months regarding building a legacy through evangelism. But real quickly, I want to make a few comments about evangelism. First of all, evangelism involves communicating the gospel primarily to those who are not yet believers. Now, this can be done obviously in the church because there are some people who are in the church but still need to be evangelized. But mostly this is a going out from the church. Often the church is confused, and in our culture today, what the tendency is that people have a tendency to invite people to their church and consider that a form of evangelism. Well, if the church is doing its job, the church is to go out into the world to preach and to evangelize and then come back in together for the meeting together of worship, encouragement, and fellowship. So we go out to evangelize and we come in to fellowship, worship, and encourage. And then the second thing is that the gospel really can be summarized into these elements: sin, separation, substitution, salvation, and sanctification. Let me explain real quickly. And again, I'm not going to get into a long theological treatise on what salvation or evangelism is all about. But real quickly, sin. Everyone has sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not a person who has been born, who is currently existing, who has ever died, who ever will live, who is not without the taint of sin in their life. And as a result of that, there is separation. That is separation from God, and separation not only spiritually, but also physically. And so this idea of death comes in. Death is really a separation. It is a separation of life, separation of the body. And because of that separation, because of the sin, there is that separation. Substitution comes in when God has designed a way through His Son to substitute His Son for our sin and for the sacrifice that we owed, that would then bridge the separation and make it possible for those who believe to overcome the separation and to be united with God. And so that's substitution. And then salvation, of course, is the idea that we are saved when we place our faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, and we live by that faith, and that comes into sanctification, where we are continuing to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that we might be able to prove what is that good and acceptable work of God, and that we are continuing to be sanctified through His Spirit and His work in us. And so that's the gospel in a nutshell. Obviously, we go into more detail about that. Hopefully, all of you who are listening already understand that and have applied that in one measure or another to your own life. Thirdly is the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, and chapter 3, verse 14. It says this: "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward." Now, this is in reference to discipleship, the idea of watering and planting and one bearing, another one bearing. There are many aspects of discipleship, from evangelism to trial training to mentoring to formal Bible teaching to being an example. To the extent that you are doing any of these things in the capacity of serving others and building others up, in that regard, you are involved in building spiritual capital in their life, but also in your own life. Now, I'm grateful to those who in my life who have personally or through print and audio have contributed to my spiritual maturity. They've developed a measure of spiritual capital in this life because of doing that, but more importantly, and through their ministries, but more importantly, they have also built some treasures in heaven because of their involvement in mentoring me or discipling me or helping me to be built up and to be encouraged and edified. We are in the business as Christians of building others up in the faith, and whatever stage they are in and whatever stage you are in, there's an opportunity to build others up in the faith. And when we do, we are then building rewards in heaven, treasures in heaven that neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And where our treasure is, our heart will be. And that is a treasure in itself. So build your spiritual capital. It has lasting value, not only for this life, but especially for the life to come. Now, I know this is a short one. It's very important, though. And hopefully by this you can be encouraged to be engaged in evangelism, to be engaged in learning and teaching sound doctrine, and to be engaged in discipling one another. And if you have any questions about anything I've said today, I would really encourage you to email those to me at steve@thelegacypodcast.com, and I'll be glad to go into more detail on that. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? With nothing to show. And our country is lost, and it's not without cost, for there's many who struggle every day. And I think that it's time we start crying for our nation and bow our heads and pray. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? Just like the plant that withers away, we will leave many seeds behind. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? What will you do to change?